This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Well, bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy. This is Well on Joy 94.9, presented to you every week by the Victorian AIDS Council. I'm Jessie, and I'm joined this week by my co-host Jack, and I'm finally back after being on holiday 6 weeks in Europe. So what have we got tonight? Well, special tonight we have a very special guest, Teddy Cook, calling in from Sydney to talk about Grunt, a campaign that talks about sexual health and more for the gay, bi and queer trans men. We will also give you an update on the Northside Bazaar coming up in mid-October, which is always a really fun day, but more on that later.
Oh, yeah, Grunt, what a good name. It's an interesting name, I think, Grunt. An acronym, perhaps? Or is it? We'll know more about that from
Teddy.
Well,
not too sure. Teddy will let us know.
And did you know that Bisexuality Day is coming up on the 23rd of September? According to some studies published in Sexuality Research and Social Policy Journal, as well as studies done by the Equality Network, found that a large proportion of bisexuals feel that they don't quite belong to the straight community, nor indeed to the GLBTI community. On September the 23rd, we have the opportunity to celebrate bisexuals in our very own sexually diverse community on Bisexuality Day, which is also known as Bi Visibility Day.
And as we're talking on the topic, we should probably take the opportunity to plug the show Triple Bypass.
Yes.
It's one of Joy's first shows focusing on bisexuality, and it involves one of our very own, Anthony, a volunteer at VAC, and he also used to be part of the Well team.
He did.
And that show airs every Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
So if you're up late, tune in to Triple Bypass on Bisexuality.
Exactly. And we also love it when people get involved in the conversation. So if you wanted to just ask us or our guest any questions or just want to contribute to the discussion, please do so. Jack, do let them know how they can do this.
They can do it in several ways, Jess, of course, but the best way is to email us here at onair@joy.org.au or send us an SMS 0427 Joy 949, both of which get us right here. They come straight to us here in the studio.
That's right. This is Well on Joy 94.9. And we have our very special guest joining us, calling in from Sydney, Teddy Cook, part of PASHTM and Grunt campaign lead. Teddy, welcome. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Indeed, and thanks so much for taking a time out to come and talk on the show with us. So I'd just like to start off by letting our listeners know what exactly is PASHTM and what are the aims and objectives of the group?
Sure. So PASHTM is an acronym, and it stands for the Peer Advocacy Network for the Sexual Health of Trans Masculinities. So we started and were established sort of during and immediately after the AIDS 2014 conference in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And we met it was a bunch of guys that we all knew each other anyway, but we were at the Global Village at the conference, and we were talking about how we had kind of identified that there was not much in the way of HIV messaging and sexual health messaging that was appropriate and applicable and included guys like us. So trans guys who have sex with other guys.
Yep.
So we decided that we're going to need to do something about it. And we kind of formed together with the support of AFAO, which is the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations.
Yeah, how did you guys actually kind of find each other? Was it literally like word of mouth, contacting each other, sort of just having a chat before you came together formally?
The group, the four initial members of the group, we all knew each other. We have all been doing different sort of bits of sort of activism and advocacy and community development work for the community, with the community over the last few years. So we knew each other. We were the only trans men from Australia at the conference.
Really?
There were probably a couple, maybe a couple more, but we were certainly, from what I know, I'd love to be wrong, but the only sort of gay or queer identified trans guys that were there.
So when you say we, are you talking about the small group of people that met up?
Yeah, so there were four of us. So
oh, wow.
Whole conference of 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Well, that's an incredible statistic, isn't it? And a glaring gap, yes. A glaring gap that you've tried to address.
We met at, there was this first ever trans networking zone at the Global Village. So there was only really one or two other sessions for the conference proper that included trans men. And so there was this other sort of sub-program of activities and conversations that were happening at this Global Village, and we came together and spoke with other people, trans men and women, and some non-binary people talking about their experiences in their countries. And we thought, there's nothing happening here. There is nothing. We have to do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's how you guys came about. And would you guys have a set of, like, aims and objectives that you came up with?
Yeah, we do. There's a couple of key things that we really focus on. One is around trans men who have sex with cisgender men in particular, but also any like trans masculine people who identify as gay, bi or queer. That's our sort of target population that we work with and work from and are part of. We focus really centrally around sexual health and HIV, but there are, you know, there's always, there are social determinants of sexual health as well. So we, are kind of thinking about what determines people's choices and understanding around sexual health. But we've got sort of three main aims, and the first one we've been able to very recently kind of and magically tick off, and it's still going at the moment, which is our grant campaign, which is a community campaign that is for and by our community. The second one is sort of resources and support for clinicians in the sector, HIV sector, really, to be able to make more sense of them and to be able to think more about how to meaningfully include trans MSM, so trans men as sex with men. And then the third one is to progress the sort of research agenda to sort of be able to understand behaviourally across the country what our cohort of guys is up to and started making sense of their sexuality and any of the risk factors and protective factors that are in place.
It'd be important.
And that's progressing as well.
Teddy, it's Jack here. Look, you just said there was a big gap at AIDS 2014, so that would suggest that issues around trans men who have sex with other men, cis men or other MSMs, can be overlooked. So that's indicative of the fact that it wasn't on the agenda. So why do you think that is? Is it why? You know?
Look, I think one of the key issues that we've faced is this myth that has perpetuated the invisibility of our community, and one, we don't have sex with other men, that we either have sex with other women, or we don't have sex, whatever that means. Or like the construction of LGBT means that they're very separate letters, and you can't be one or both at the same time, maybe, that we're not having sex with gay men, and that we're not at risk of acquiring HIV.
And that, lots of assumptions and, there, eh? Yeah.
Well, lots of assumptions, and I think, you know, and of course, rightly so, everything that we do in this space has to be evidence-based, right? But a lack of evidence, you know, there's this saying that says the absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. So because we haven't been included properly in research and in surveillance for HIV in particular, and STIs, then it feeds into this idea that this population is not at risk.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it, when I unpack it in my mind and I go, okay, well, I'm having sex with gay men I'm having, you know, the kind of sex that I'm having is certainly, you know, it can certainly put me at risk of, you know, any number of amazing sex souvenirs.
Sure.
So why wouldn't I just logically be included if I'm thinking about a HIV response that prioritises and considers diversity, why wouldn't trans and them just naturally be part of that response? And we haven't.
Yeah,
so yeah, absolutely. Today. Well, we'll be right back with you, Teddy. Joy
94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we are chatting with Teddy Cook about the about PASH and the GRUNT campaign. Now, Teddy, before you're explaining that PASH was an acronym, is GRUNT also one?
No, it's not. It's more of a...
It's just a good name.
Yeah. Well, we wanted something that was really sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got it.
And
definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty sexy, hey?
Yeah, it is. So, the GRUNT campaign grew out of PASH. Can you tell us something about the campaign and how it all came to be like that?
Yeah, sure. I really want to say also up front that the GRUNT campaign would never have been possible if it wasn't for the incredible support that we received and continue to receive from ASAO.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we're a whole group of volunteers. We do all of this in our spare time, if there's such a thing. I'm sure you relate, and we're funded by ASAO to kind of develop and deliver this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is Australia's first ever sexual health campaign for gay, bi, and queer trans guys, and particularly trans guys that have sex with cisgender guys.
Just for everyone's information, cisgender guys means what exactly?
Okay, so cisgender essentially means not trans.
Yep.
It was created and we're all kind of... So it's used in lots of different contexts outside of kind of the human experience, but it essentially, this is a Latin derivative that means on the same side as, essentially. So if you identify with how you were assigned at birth, then you're cisgender.
Perfect.
It kind of helps people not say things like real boy or...
No, exactly. And that's
boy, whatever.
Terminology is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, language is power.
Yeah. And it's used as a weapon often. Yeah.
Yes, it really is. So GRUNT consists of a website, grunt.org.au, a booklet, which is like a back pocket sort of passport size booklet, and some posters, A4 and A3 posters, and a sort of social media campaign, as well as a postcard as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's national.
Yeah. So could you give us an overview of what the whole GRUNT campaign is about? I know you said there was sexual health stuff, so we could go through that, but I know there's like some other aspects to it as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So, I mean, the foundation and the basis of the campaign is to provide accurate, accessible, sex-positive information for trans men and the other guys that they're having sex with.
Mm-hmm.
In a space that is around celebration and making it coming from a community voice. So we wanted to cover information about sexual health and HIV and HIV prevention and STIs. And we we broke it down into the idea around how it is that we can stay safe. So how do we keep it safe? So we talked about condoms, obviously, but also things like PrEP and PEP and treatment as prevention.
Mm-hmm.
We really wanted to encourage guys to be getting tested more and to understand what happens when people get tested and where they can go to get tested and what to expect. You know, we know that this population, you know, trans guys are a very under-screened, under-tested population for a whole lot of reasons, and but a core reason is around fear of not being treated properly.
Could we go through, yeah, just a couple of those? You said that is one of the reasons. Could you quickly just go through what some of the other reasons might be?
Yeah, potentially not understanding or recognising risk. You know, we have this idea that we're not at risk for some, you know, really bizarre reason.
So but it's like a lack of education in that area?
Yeah, the sort of sexual health literacy can be low, be quite low. You know, they're changing, but, you know, certainly that's the case. Not knowing where to get tested, not realising that it's a thing, that, you know, waiting for symptoms. And we know that most STIs have no symptoms whatsoever. And so that's sort of the key, some of the key reasons. But I think over and above, whether it's a fear of being misgendered, not being welcome, not being accepted, is a massive barrier for guys to get tested. And, you know, when you go into a sexual health clinic and they ask very prescriptive questions about your body and talk only about dicks and asses, it can be it can be a barrier. You know, it just says, it says it indirectly, but it says we don't understand you. And,
it would be a barrier. It would be something to I'd be mindful of and be cautious with, I think, if I was trans.
I mean, I know that I, as a trans man, when I'm accessing services, there are little cues that tell me really quickly whether or not it could be okay for me to disclose. And one of the things we wanted to say was you don't have to disclose.
Yeah, and I guess that's also... that's just also a big part of what you said PASH-TM was about, was also educating these doctors, giving them training and or sensitivity training and stuff like that, which is obviously very important, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a gap. And whether it's... you know, I think clinicians have so much going on and work hard to keep on top of the kind of, you know, I think particularly sexual health clinicians work with populations that are incredibly vulnerable all the time. And, you know, the key populations that are affected most by HIV are, you know, really marginalised populations. So... making sure that clinicians are aware that there is a diversity within these populations is not only really, really important, but it can, I think, sometimes be a bit of a tall order for clinicians to recognise that they don't understand everything.
Yeah, no, indeed. You know?
So we've got to break that down, because they're community people.
Yeah.
So we've got to build this... legitimacy in the voice to make sure that they can hear that we know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, indeed. So just back to the grant campaign quickly, other than sexual health information and HIV prevention stuff that's on there, what else have you got on there?
We've got a whole lot of stuff around disclosure. So how and when and things to think about when disclosing your trans experience. Cruising, other things to be aware of, that kind of hidden art that is cruising, how to engage on hookup apps and things to be mindful of, and also things like dealing with dysphoria and the experience of being in a sexual contact with someone while also having... A personal trauma of that, of your body, and how to make sense of that and work through it, and keep talking about it if you want to, and all that kind of stuff, because it's not something that we talk about. You know, I think, you know, we have this, not everyone, certainly, but, you know, a whole bunch of trans men having sex with other men have this sort of compounding experiences of fearing rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And not really perhaps recognizing that everyone gets rejected, but also when we get rejected, it can be internalized as it's because I'm trans, even if the other guy hasn't said it, or the guy does say it and he's an absolute bastard about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Unnecessarily so. So we wanted to, you know, name it and talk about how to work through that and recognise that it's a thing and that it's okay and that it'll pass and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I just had another question, actually. I just got the campaign stuff in. They got sent to me at VAC, so we're going to distribute them. It looks really, really good, by the way. Really loving it. But as far as a sexual health or, you know, HIV prevention campaign goes, they are quite sexualized images, or they are very sexy, right? Yeah. Was that done on purpose?
Yes, absolutely. We believe that having this as a moment for sex positivity and celebration of our sexuality was really important. The kind of more sort of gentle, maybe romantic stuff that's come before through Dude magazine and some of the sort of intro stuff that we did when Buck Angel came to town.
Yeah.
And his Get Back tour with Jez. And I work with Jez on that campaign with Buck Angel. But we wanted Grunt to be sexually adventurous, in your face, sexy as hell.
And celebratory,
Yeah, and saying, we have awesome sex, and how cool is that? I think there's a myth that we're not sexual, that we are asexual, that we are this, you know, perhaps this miserable bunch who experience a lot of shit stuff in the world, and that's not a lie, but we wanted to say, okay, yep, that, you know, that can happen.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, albeit I think the trans male experience can be significantly different to the kinds of negative experiences that trans women can face. But we wanted to really push as far as we could to say we are capable of having adventurous, awesome sex, and with that comes the opportunity to be educated so that we can make informed choices about how we consider our sexual health.
No, indeed. I reckon celebrate the sexuality. We'll be right back with you, Teddy.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're back with Teddy Cook. Teddy, are you there?
I sure am.
Okay, great to know that you're still with us. It was such a good song, wasn't it? So we were just talking about the Grunt campaign, and I wanted to ask, actually, how did you choose the models to be involved in it?
Oh, yeah, so I'm so glad you asked. We put a call out through, like, I would probably say our pretty extensive social media network.
So I have to want to mention that these are actually real guys then, they're not paid models.
No, oh God. Mm-hmm. No, they're real people. Mm-hmm. We put a call out and we said, hey, trans guys who have sex with other guys, we want you. You have to kind of be okay with being half naked or totally naked. We want to get a sense of how cool you are with your level of sort of identifiability, you know, recognizing that other guys might be completely stealth, so it means that they're not out as trans, or they're not haven't begun perhaps their sort of medical transition at all, or if they want to go down that path, they might not be out to their families and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So every single guy that says, I'll be up for it, we said, you're in. We did a photo shoot in Sydney, the Bearded Tid, and we did a photo shoot in Melbourne at the Laird. And then as part of that, we sort of handpicked the cute, positive, sensitive, awesome cis guys that we knew and said, we want you.
Yeah.
you come and get half naked with us? And they said, okay. And then they came along, and then we had got this amazing photographer, Morgan Carpenter, who is behind the sort of photographic genius, really, of Dirty Queer magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We commissioned him to take the photos, and then we had Ethan Christie, who's our graphic designer and web designer, sort of bring it all together. But we, I mean, the Laird and the Bearded Tit were incredible.
Yeah.
We spent half a day in various stages of undress in lots of different...
It sounds like hard work, really.
No, so, I mean, you know, it's a great part.
Terrible.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about the campaign. These guys...
Sexy.
Yeah,
and these are real guys. These are real trans men who are getting involved in the campaign, which I think is really,
this is
really
this
cool.
About real community ownership.
Absolutely.
You know, these guys have, you know, I've had one, you know, a whole bunch of them, but one guy in particular wrote me a letter or emailed me and said, that photo shoot was, like, completely transformative for my experience, for my life. It was
a little therapeutic.
Huge. I feel so much more confident to be in this whole room, and he said, to be in this whole room of men, and for me, the trans guy, to be the majority in the room, and to be totally accepted and celebrated for who I am as a gay man was a huge moment. He said it was right up there for him at the same sort of level as like chest surgery and starting to, in terms of his kind of affirming his gender. And, you know, that was, I have to say, as the sort of campaign lead, but part of this group, that was unintended. You know, I didn't realise that this moment would be such a big deal for so many of these guys.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was beautiful to be part of.
Yeah, no, that's really good to know. And that's just another positive thing that's come out of it, on top of the fact that you've actually managed to produce this collateral and this campaign. But in the
creation...
Well,
they've all been sharing it now, you know, and distributing it through their kind of networks. And on their kind of Facebook, so it's sort of... You know, not only are we saying we think this is really cool, but these guys who participate, the trans guys and the cis guys, are like, check this out, I'm so proud to be part of it.
Yeah, totally. Now, that's such a great thing. But in the creation of this campaign, was there anything that you learnt coming out of it?
Yes. Plenty.
Was this, are we talking personally here or sort of?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe personally, because I suppose, you know, if you did take the campaign lead and you're part of PASH-TM, you'd be considered the expert in that area. But I'm sure doing this, like, you would have learnt something. I just kind of wanted to know, what was there something interesting or a highlight that you learnt from this in going through all of it?
That I think probably the biggest one for me was that this community has been real thirsty for this campaign for a really, really long time. And, you know, we went through a sort of focused, online focused test process. And in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if like 50 guys gave us their feedback? That'd be cool. 300 later.
Really? So that's
really good feedback about, you know, this is in the development phase. Like, really, really good kind of thoughts on how we were positioning the campaign and what we're saying. And they were able to, they kind of gave us some things that we're missing and that we incorporated back into the campaign. And that was really a great process to do. And then just this incredible... uptake, you know, they've taken it and just gone with it. You know, I'm cursed with this terrible optimism all the time.
No, that's good.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, you need
it's
to
probably
be
a good. Yes, okay. Totally.
So what's next for this space? Do you think?
I think the next thing that must happen is that more broad-based, mainstream MSM HIV campaigns that if they for one second want to include a diversity of men, right?
Sure.
That trans MSM are automatically considered and included.
Well, it makes sense. You know, it makes sense that it is part of the landscape, and it's a shocking omission that it hasn't been.
But I think it's the beginning of change now,
absolutely,
isn't it?
As you said, the community have been thirsty for some sort of campaign and resourcing and acknowledgement, yes. I think so.
Thirsty indeed. Yes. Well, this campaign, it's very relevant and it's very sexy, and all this chat about it, I'm sure people are itching to go and have a look. Do you have a link that we could give our listeners, Teddy?
Yeah. I'll give out a couple. So the first one is to go to the Grunt website at www.grunt.org.au. Mm-hmm. And so our PASH CM Facebook page is just facebook.com/ PASHTM, and that's where we drive out all of our sort of social media stuff and mm-hmm. stuff that we're up to and things that are happening.
Yeah, awesome. Joy 94.9. This is Well on Joy 94.9, and we are back with Teddy. But just before we go back to that, we have had a message come in from a lovely listener that I'll get Jack to read out.
We have, Jesse said, hello to my two favourite Joy FM presenters, Jack and Jesse. This is a great topic you're talking about tonight with Teddy, and an informative show as always. Love from Anthony in Reservoir.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Anthony. Now back to Teddy. Teddy, in your experience, what are some of the major misconceptions you have come across about trans men?
Oh, God. All right.
Where do you start,
we'll start,
I suppose?
We'll say major ones, shall I say?
Major ones. Mm. We don't have sex.
You don't have
we
sex?
We only have sex in one particular place. They're all bottom.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
For some reason, we might not have, like, we might not be in the butt sex. We might not be, like, fierce tops as hell. That we bearded ladies, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that we don't exist.
Yeah.
So we're not, so you kids. Don't, what, sorry?
Exist.
Oh.
So we don't exist.
That you are invisible generally, I suppose, is a big...
Yeah, literally invisible. That, the population is tiny, for starters. Which... really is so not true. It's just not true.
No, it's always been there.
Yes, ever since we, as humans, I like to think, crawled out of a primordial ooze, the trans experience has been so and truly a thing.
Yeah. And you think it's probably, I mean, we do live in such a heteronormative society, I suppose, but the more we get the word out there, educate people, make it more visible. I think times really are changing, don't you reckon? And this is just a start to it.
I do. I think that the trans experience has been positioned as some sort of magical third gender identity for a very long time. And so you see, you know, when you go into a service or you're, you know, filling out something and it asks you if you are male, female or transgender. No, I would say that that's a really flawed way of thinking about our population. When, you know, for you and I, we're both men, and you might have a cisgender experience, and I have a transgender experience, but we're both men. And there are better ways to think about our community in a way that is means that we're not erased.
Yeah.
And do so. I'm a bit of a data nerd, so I like...
Well, that's good.
I'm probably a nerd in lots of different ways. I wouldn't mind being a nerd about going to the gym. But
that applies to everybody, I think. Teddy, is there a particular issue around terminology you'd like to point out to our listener to be aware of next time the topic of a trans individual's come up?
I think... The vast, I would say the vast majority of trans people identify as just male or female. A good place to start recognising that there is also a very valid experience of being non-binary identified.
Mm.
But for people who don't identify as male or female, or identify as both, or neither.
Do you think it's do you think the safest thing is to ask someone? Because I guess it can be a bit of a tricky one if you possibly ask someone and then that particular individual might become offended that you ask them, but then you know, so sometimes it can be a bit confusing.
I guess so. I think what I've heard said before is, if you can see, if you're thinking about a binary expression, if you're thinking and you can see someone dressing and being expressed in a way that they, you know, just go with it. Mm. But also, if you make a mistake, it's, you know, it's good to not say, excuse me, are you trans? Mm.
Mm.
I've had someone ask me that at a cafe over the table.
Someone you didn't know?
No, I didn't know them.
Oh.
And I just thought, like, my neck beard must be super on point if you're kind of really something. Your eyes must be amazing. But I think, yeah, if you're in a situation where it's relevant at all,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that probably most of the time it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're trying to think about how you want to... So we think about pronouns, so he or she or they.
Yeah.
Or a whole lot of other awesome ones. We only use pronouns when we're talking about someone else, introducing someone to somebody else. We're talking about them when they're not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get it right, just use their name.
Yeah.
Think about how the person that is at the point of your attention is referring to themselves. And if you make a mistake, please don't lose your mind.
Yeah.
It's okay to go, oh, sorry, thanks for clarifying that, and then just moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had times where I've had to comfort the cisgender person.
Yeah, exactly. Don't, like, freak out and then make it about you as opposed to them, right?
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, good to know. I did hear that the Sydney just had their launch for Grunt. Was that last week? Yeah, and how was that?
It was right at the end of August, and it was huge. We had it at the Bearded Kid in Sydney, and it was packed.
Awesome.
It was amazing. And then we're launching this Friday in Melbourne.
We are indeed. I was going to say, will you be coming down to join us?
Yes, I will.
Oh,
and amazing. Where will that launch be, please, Teddy?
That's at Equinox. Equinox Gender Diverse Health Centre.
Mm-hmm. And it is going from 6 p.m. until 7:30, which is 175 Rose Street in Fitzroy, but I can run through those details again. Teddy, I think that is all we have time for today, unfortunately, but it has been incredibly valuable having you on the show.
Indeed.
Can't thank you enough for taking out your Monday evening to come chat to us.
No worries. Nice to meet you both.
And we'll see you on Friday the 23rd at Equinox.
I look forward to meeting
indeed.
You.
Thanks a lot, Teddy. Bye.
Cheers, Teddy.
And that was Teddy Cook calling in from Sydney, part of the PASH TM group and lead on the Grunt launch, which is a cool campaign. I've seen all the material come in myself. It's very sexy. It's very cool. So
I must have a look.
You need to, Jack. I can't believe you haven't already.
No, it's not like
you. It's not like you at all. So, yeah, just to repeat, the Grunt launch for Melbourne is on this Friday, 23rd of September, from 6 p.m. till 7:30 at Equinox Gender Diverse Health Centre, which is 175 Rose Street in Fitzroy. And if you wanted more information, the easiest way would be if you could jump onto Facebook and search for PASH TM, so that's PASHTM, and you'll see the event page on listed just on their page.
We want to hear from you.
Joy 94.9 is proud to be the voice of the LGBTI communities, and we'd love to hear from you.
Our station is all about serving the community, and we want to know your thoughts, comments, and ideas to help shape our future.
It's time for our listener survey, so head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, the station with the most uplifting music mix in Melbourne. That was interesting, Jess. Everything you wanted to know about trans issues?
Absolutely.
What's the website again, please, Jess?
So the website, if you wanted to go check it out, is grunt.org.au. So please go check it out. It's a really cool website.
And also coming up on Saturday the 15th of October, 1 p.m. through to 7 p.m. is Northside Bazaar. That's outside of the Laird Hotel in Henry Street, Abbotsford. It's an event where the Laird, VAC and Joy work together to raise funds for the David Williams Fund. There's outdoor events, indoor events, music, food, entertainment, auction house, lots of leather treasure for sale, kinky performances on the Laird stage.
There is. It was really fun. I actually went last year and I worked, ran one of the bars there, and it was so much fun. It was just like a mini day fair, I guess you'd call it.
Well, it is. It's a street fair. It's a bit a
street
mini
fair.
Mini,
yeah.
Was it Folsom? Mini little festival like in San Francisco.
Oh,
oh well, I think we've got a long way to go before.
Yeah,
that.
Well, I mean, to be exact, I guess we'll call it a bazaar, hence the name.
Yeah.
But we are always looking for volunteers. So if you want to get involved, go out and check out the website, and that is northsidebazaar.com, and bazaar is spelled BIZARRE. So that's northsidebazaar.com.
Correct. And if you've missed any part of our show tonight and would like to catch up on something you have missed, just go to our podcast, download our podcast at www.joy.org.au and look for the Well, Well, Well podcast hatch.
Absolutely. And I think that is us bringing the show to a close.
It is. We've got coming up next the fabulous Sonia with Broad.
Absolutely.
And all of her friends.
Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll see you here again next week, Monday night, 8 p.m. It's great to be with you. Great having a lovely show with you, Jack.
And Jessie, welcome back again from Europe. And we've both been traveling, of course, haven't we?
Indeed. Thanks, guys. Have a good evening. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Well, well, well.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council on Joy 94.9.
Joy, joy, joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.